Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Episode 2 of the Phase Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Davis, joined today by my amazing co-hosts, Jamie Jurek.
Hello.
And we have Jim Viscardi. He's doing a little
Let's go! Let's talk about WandaVision.
What a day. What a day. Episode 3 of WandaVision is here. Episode 2 of Phase Zero is right now. We have a special guest on the show. We will have the surprise for you in just a minute. I just have to introduce the show quickly. I first of all wanted to say thank you to everybody who watched us on Twitch, who listened to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on iHeartRadio. The first episode of Phase Zero was a huge success. I genuinely can't thank you all enough for downloading it and sending the nice messages and screenshots of your phones, listening to it, and all of that. That means the world, and I genuinely hope this thing can blow up and we can do some really awesome stuff. We have really awesome plans. I mean, next week, we already have next week's guest booked, and I will tell you who it is at the end of the show. And this week, what we're doing is we're talking about some of the biggest Marvel news, some Simu Liu comments, some delays that might be happening, and WandaVision Episode 3 in full spoilers. We'll save that for the back of the show. So, to start the show, I just want to jump into some of the news here. Simu Liu made some headlines this week, and I think it was pretty cool why he made headlines. He did an interview with Toronto Life, and he was asked, can Shang-Chi take on the Hulk and other Marvel characters? And Simu Liu said, yes, absolutely. He thinks Shang-Chi, we'll figure out how to pronounce it. Kevin Feige says it one way, then he says it another. He thinks he could take on Black Widow, the Hulk, Iron Man, and all the other Marvel characters. So, first of all, Jim, you might have the most Marvel knowledge of all of us.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Why?
This is a character who has spent so much time focused on his art. And the powers that he has, I believe, are focused enough that would he win? I don't know. Maybe not. Would he put up a fight? Absolutely.
I don't know. I feel like Hulk might be able to smash, like literally.
But I just think, but like he like Shang-Chi would get out of the way.
Yeah, dance around it.
Hulk slow.
So listen. I thought this was a cool conversation. I saw this headline. I thought it was a fun conversation. And I thought we should bring in a special guest to talk about this. Somebody who would know Shang-Chi better than any of us, right? The person who co-created Shang-Chi. This is a legend of the comics world. Eisner Award Hall of Famer. He appeared in Avengers Endgame. He's the co-creator of Thanos, Drax the Destroyer, Gamora, and Shang-Chi. Today's surprise guest on Phase Zero is Mr. Jim Starlin.
Woo!
Surprise!
Woo! Jim, thank you so much for joining us on Phase Zero, first of all.
A pleasure.
Okay, so I have to jump right in, though. I have to get your opinion on this. So Simu Liu says Shang-Chi can take on pretty much the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Marvel Comics Universe. Who do you think wins those fights? Do you think Shang-Chi might be able to take on the Hulk?
This is a conditional answer. There is the Shang-Chi that Steve Englehart and I did, and as I understand it, in which I only learned about it recently, he has additional powers now, which is he can duplicate himself. If this duplication is endless, well, he could take on anybody. On his own, he'd have to be very lucky to take on the Hulk. He could stay out of his reach. does have pressure points and nerve endings. Shang-Chi might have to rock to hit one of those pressure points enough to get an impact. But he's basically a creature, a basic human, just big and green and all powerful. So Shang-Chi would have a shot at it if he was being able to break into infinite copies of himself. Well, that sounds like he could take on the world.
So I think that's fair.
I guess it's going to come down to what the people on and decide to do about him. They have a lot of choices with Shang-Chi that, and that's how I pronounce it, Shang, that they have a lot of possibilities with him that I think are really kind of interesting with the departure of the Captain America, Chris Evans character. The Marvel Universe is without a moral center. He was always acting as that part. Shang-Chi, on the other hand, even if he is assassin to start off with, moral character, at least the way Englehart and I created worked with him, and I think most writers after that. So he may be, in some ways, Captain America's replacement in the Marvel Universe.
That would he could be that moral compass that just comes in and relentlessly wants to fight for good. And I think that the MCU is going to need that. So that's an interesting point. What do you think? What parts of the Shang-Chi character, as you pronounce it, sound off in the comments. Let us know on Twitter how you want to pronounce Shang-Chi. Are we doing it wrong? Are we doing it right?
Shang-Chi. Chinese pronunciation is Shang. I'm not sure.
It might be. But so what do you think are the most important things about this character? As somebody who has, you know, lived with the character, who helped create the character, to make sure that these are the essential elements of Shang-Chi that have to be in the film for the character to be done correctly.
To transition from basically assassin to hero, an indomitable will, and a sort of religious discipline. Basically, I think those are the three elements that make Shang-Chi more than the other character. He's basically focused on the moment and what has to be done, and that focus allows him to go on without being stopped, make it very hard to stop him, at least.
Yeah, I think Simu Liu is going to do a fantastic job. He's also, I mean, there are some awesome moments. It sounds like you've really kept up with the character through the years.
Really. I don't really get the comics anymore.
Well, that's fair. But he's had some awesome, like he's used Pym particles to become gigantic. You know, he's had Tony Stark design armor for him. And just, he's had so many interactions. Like he's worked with Black Widow, he's worked with Daredevil or to hunt the Punisher, stuff like that. Who are some characters you think, are the best for interactions with that character?
In the version that Englehart and I worked with, I would have thought Black Widow and Captain America, more of the earthy characters, would have been more natural fit for, collaboration. He's got an Iron Man outfit now? Okay.
There was a time. There was a time he had some bonus.
That seems like it's taking it a little bit too far out of the character. But, you know, it's been years since I worked, so it's everybody else's plaything these days. But I think I would have kept him down to a more centered view, and I'd be curious to see where they take him in the Marvel Universe. Cinematic Universe.
Speaking of, you made a cameo in Endgame. Is there any chance we might see you in Shang-Chi?
No, not with the COVID. The COVID and the fires in Australia, and they couldn't get back into Australia. I don't think it was ever considered. I'd love to do another cameo, but you're not going to see me in Shang-Chi, I'm afraid.
In that one. That's a bummer. That makes sense. Have you met anyone involved with the movie, Simu or the director?
Oh, I was supposed to meet with the director back in San Diego before last, but we never connected up. There was a mix-up in the scheduling. So, no. So I'm coming in the dark just like everybody else on this.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what's going on.
So you've worked a lot in the cosmic side of Marvel Comics, and that has really proved to be some of the most interesting stuff in comic history, now in films and television. What do you think it is? Like, I mean, and what drew you back to the cosmic side of it all, and why is that the most fun part of the sandbox?
Well, I went for the cosmic because doing cosmic, you don't have to address the horse or cars. It was laziness on my part. I stick with it because once you get off Earth, you can write whatever story you want. You just have to adapt it in such a way that it doesn't come off preachy. That's why I tend to do stories that are not set on Earth, because you're too restricted by what the reality is of everyday life. Like in Star Trek, early Star Treks, they showed us that they could do stories about discrimination, other way matters, and do it in such a way that didn't seem like they were pounding you on the head with it, or, you know, screaming at you from a pulpit. So I've always enjoyed just getting away and making my own world, because it's more fun and it gives you more freedom.
Do you think they would be wise to use Thanos some more?
I think they are. They made a truck of money off him, and I believe I've heard some rumors that he's coming back in different things. The first, which I think I've heard confirmed from Marvel Studio, he's going to be in at least a guest appearance inside the Eternals. So he's going to be around.
That would make sense. I mean,
Eternals. I read this myself. This is not anything I'm making up. Yeah. This is something
sure
I've read somewhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Eternals is going to span thousands of years, and it's going to look at the MCU history. So he would it makes sense. I want to ask, this is a big change of topic for us on Phase Zero. But you've drawn Darkseid with DC, which is so, like, I mean, clearly you've drawn all the best characters. But Darkseid is about to make a big screen, or a big screen and a small screen debut with Zack Snyder's Justice League, and we've got looks at like the very young version of Darkseid. I'm curious, as an artist, what are the key elements you think of Darkseid's appearance that have to be used to appear to make sure that you're doing this character right?
I think his face has to look made of rock. You know, I mean, that's what Kirby did right from the start. The mass, the size, the power. With Darkseid, he doesn't move much. And I think keeping the movement down to a minimum would be important with that character. Power and limited ability by choice. Those are the things I would think would be visually most interesting about him.
Jim, you brought up Darkseid's mask, and it's a thing that I've never had the opportunity to really ask someone until you really brought it up. But functionally, what is that mask for?
Darkseid's mask?
Yeah. is it just like is it something like, look, it looks awesome, it looks cool, but like, is that something that someone's ever brought up? Like, you know,
is it a mask? Why? I thought it was his face.
Well, it's, I mean, he's got the head, he's got his headgear.
That's his face.
Oh, okay.
I think he's got a real dermatological problem there.
Fair.
A Dr. Doom complex, a little bit.
But he likes to show it off.
Yeah,
fair. That's fair. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us on Phase Zero. This was you're our first live guest we've ever had, and you're an idol of mine, because as you see, you signed this for me at San Diego Comic Con back when the last time there was a San Diego Comic Con, the Infinity Gauntlet story, and your work has really
behind you though.
Yeah, listen. So if you want to come pick it up, I'm here in Nashville. If you want to come grab it,
okay, I'll come by next week sometime.
I carried this thing, this full size Infinity Gauntlet, onto a plane from LA to Nashville, and I sat with it in my hand the entire flight. Like 2 weeks after Endgame came out, and everybody on the plane was looking at me like, "This guy's going to kill us." Like,
they wouldn't let you on with a fork, but they let you on with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to remember which airline that is and fly from now on.
Well, thank you, Mr. Starlin. Genuinely, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. This was awesome. And I hope we get to catch up with you again soon.
All right. You take care, and take care out there.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was awesome. He's an awesome guy. I mean, I think that's the third time I've ever interviewed him, and he is just an awesome guy. And you can tell he knows and loves this stuff, and that's the best.
Yeah, he's got some of the driest wit that I think is what like just draws me to him and makes him so endearing, because he's someone who has no joke done some of the biggest stuff in Marvel history, and for him to just like be so incredibly humble about it and just, you know, it's fun to see. It's just, you know, you never know what to expect sometimes with some folks, and Jim's one of the best.
It must be hard to give up a character that you created and give up creative control. And he just seemed so open to what was happening. And I thought that was really cool. I think if I created somebody, I'd have trouble seeing somebody else take it over.
Yeah. I mean, when he signed this Infinity Gauntlet comic for me at Comic-Con, and he made a joke, he's like, "You want me to deface this for you? Like, this is actually a good condition book. You want me to ruin it?" I was like, "Yes, ruin all over it. Write your name everywhere."
Look, here's the thing I will say. If there are folks out there who have loved his work doing superheroes and whatnot, you definitely need to go check out Dreadstar. Dreadstar is his creator-owned work, and he's been teasing new stuff coming out, and it's going to be phenomenal. It's everything. Dreadstar is everything that you have loved about his work for hire stuff, a bit unchained and like to the max. And so if you're a big Jim Starlin fan, definitely go check out Dreadstar.
Yeah, and I do want to shout out from the comment section, Wesley is complimenting Jamie's background.
Oh, thank you. I have something to say about this later and related to WandaVision.
Here we go.
Okay, well, before we get to WandaVision, we do have a couple more news topics we want to talk about. Top of the list, Black Widow keeps falling further. I hate this. It looks like Black Widow is going to be delayed. They don't want to drop her in theaters or on Disney Plus. If you want Black Widow to drop on Disney Plus, you have to skip to 152.50 and Endgame.
Don't stop.
See it. I had to bring it back. Stop. I had to bring it back. Listen, rude. I have to hide the pain because it hurts. I just want to see this movie. It seems inevitable, and that's not a Thanos pun. It seems inevitable that Black Widow is going to be delayed again.
Jamie, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, it's so exhausting at this point.
That's the best word for it.
Yeah,
it sucks. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, at this point, yes, just put it on Disney Plus, but I really don't think that's going to happen either.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't know how they avoid it at this point. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, without it further moving the rest of their schedule, there's got to be an end date that they are looking at and saying, look, if we can't get it into theaters by date X, we have to bite the bullet and go. And, you know, that sucks. But at the same time, it's like it is potentially holding up other stuff. And so, you know, I'm sure they've been able to make a lot of changes kind of on the fly for certain things. But I mean, they've got to get it out.
I mean, here's the thing. We all thought Black Widow had to come out before the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And even if that's true, they're showing us they don't care. And I do think like maybe something will happen in Falcon and Winter Soldier that should have been revealed after Black Widow for maximum experience. But I don't know if that's true. All I know, I think Black Widow, for the most part, can come out almost anywhere. Like, you don't necessarily have to delay Shang-Chi and Eternals and Strange 2. The only thing I know is that there's a What If episode that connects to Black Widow, and Black Widow has to come before that. So that gives us plenty of time to move Black Widow, but not move the rest of the slate. So
it's true. And they could, if there is, you know, whatever it may have been, the end tag of Black Widow, I'm sure they can put somewhere else as well, maybe. But, you know, I mean, there have been some other end tags that have had nothing to do with, you know, the movie that it was attached to. So, I to me, that feels like one of the other things too, because for a long time, that tag has led to something else down the future. And so if that tag is not something immediately down the future, then okay, fine. But if it is, then you're like, well, okay, you know, when does it go?
I'm at the point now, I know there are people out there who say Black Widow deserves the theatrical release, the premiere and all that stuff. And I agree with that. But I'm on the train. I'm aboard the train of release it on Disney Plus and in theaters at the same time. I will honestly, I'll go buy out a theater if I can, and then I'll pay again to watch it on Disney Plus. Like I'm gonna watch this movie more than once. I will pay $29.99, $39.99 to watch it at home if that's the only option. So it's gonna be a long time before we get a $1 billion movie anyway. Box office is going to be hurt by some percentage for the foreseeable future by all this regardless. So it just seems like, come on, just drop the movie already.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see it.
I mean, look, and that's the thing too. Like, okay, so here's the big question. Do we get one more trailer before the movie comes out?
I don't need it.
I mean, you have to. They have to do something to promote the movie again. Like there's right. No way you promote the movie without a new trailer, and they're going to have to find some piece in there to get a buzz. I mean, but they're good at what they do. So
I feel like I've seen a lot of the movie already. So
yes, I would have to agree with you, but we'll see. We'll see. Everybody let us know at the hashtag #PhaseZero and in the comments, how do you want to see Black Widow release? Are you down for the dual release on Disney Plus and in theaters, or do you want to just wait as long as it takes? I don't want to wait any longer, but everybody has their opinion, so we're interested to hear yours. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a 5-star review, subscribe, all that stuff. This is my plug to subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Music, subscribe, follow our Twitch channel because we're live every Friday at noon Eastern time. And one more piece of news before we get into WandaVision. Thor Love and Thunder starts filming this week. So that's cool. Set photos started to pop up. You saw maybe some Gore the God Butcher insight. I don't want to get too spoilery there in case it's wrong or we shouldn't talk about it. But also, it's just not, like an Ant-Man 3 starts filming soon. Michael Douglas said he's growing the goatee back, and he said 2022. So it looks like, I mean, set photos hopefully start popping up. I don't know. We haven't had too many set photos in the pandemic world of it all. But I don't know. What do you think? Excited for these movies to get started?
Oh, I can't wait for the new Thor. I mean, every aspect about that. give it to me now.
And see, the Ant-Man franchise is low-key one of my favorite ones. So I'm like, I'm very excited for more Ant-Man stuff.
I hope the new one has a lot more Michelle Pfeiffer. That's my
goal. It almost has to at this point. Like I just, to me, I love how much of an ensemble that like franchise has really started to grow into, and so that's I think one of the reasons why I'm more excited for Ant-Man.
I have to agree with you. Actually, I don't know, I think Thor 4 is going to be pretty wild, but Kang the Conqueror and Ant-Man, that's huge. We are going to hopefully just, please don't delay Spider-Man 3. Just let me have Spider-Man 3 this year before the whole movie leaks online. That's all I'm asking. Don't delay Spider-Man 3. But we got to take a quick break for our podcast sake and let you hear from other awesome people about awesome stuff. And we will be right back in 1 second.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And we're back because we're live and this is the live show. So now we're going to talk about WandaVision episode 3. This is full spoilers ahead. If you have not yet watched WandaVision, go watch WandaVision. Come right
spoiler
back.
Warning.
Spoiler.
There it is.
There's
the alert.
We got it.
Yes, that is your spoiler alert. From here on out, WandaVision episode 3, full spoilers are eligible to be talked about in the comments in the show. and everywhere in between. Oh, I'm joined now by my co-host, Nova. You can't see her, but you might hear her. She is sitting right here next to me. Okay, WandaVision episode 3. Let's go around the horn. Jamie, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, loved it. I'm a big Brady Bunch fan. And so just the little nods to Brady Bunch, I soak that up. And obviously Wanda's my favorite, and to see her get a little scary is I can't wait to see where that goes, because she got scary there at the end. And when she tossed Monica out, and it definitely, I think you tweeted this, Brandon, but definitely the best of the three so far.
I definitely think it was my favorite of the three. Jim, what'd you think?
Look, I have been saying all along, because we've been able to see it, this third episode is definitely going to be the one that if you have been on the fence, you will fall in love with this show after watching episode three, because episode three does so much to it to me feels like the perfect episode to show someone new about like how crazy this show can be. Also, while showing its place in the MCU and showing that there is a bigger problem or bigger thing at play here. And so for me to, you know, I think this episode plays up the humor really well. It plays up the incredibly tense moments even better than the first two. And then it feels more like a Marvel. It's more in the Marvel universe than anything else yet. So episode three to me is the high watermark of these first three. I guess it's episode three.
It's certainly my favorite so far. It's very interesting because I thought it was very entertaining, just like the first two were, but I am certainly most excited and engaged in those moments where the facade that is being created by Wanda or whoever starts to break. And I think that's probably true of most people who watch the show. I think the people who were frustrated with the first two episodes, that is what's going to keep them interested. And I think I think after this episode, after that ending, we really have to hit the gas now. I think now is the point where we're pulling the curtain back a little by little still, but a little bit more each episode, and you're going to start to see what's going on. So I want to start this with kind of a prediction from each of us, and I'm going last. But towards the end of the episode, Agnes and Herbert were talking to Vision, and they're asking about Monica, or Geraldine, but as we know her as Monica. And they said, she came here because we're all, and they never finished the sentence. And we're all sitting there saying, finish the sentence, just finish the sentence, please. They didn't finish the sentence. Full J.J. Abrams lost mode. Keep us hanging, coming back for more. What do you think was the end of that sentence? She came here because we're all.
Jamie.
Oh, I mean, trapped seems like the obvious answer.
Yeah.
I can't think of what any other word it would be. But that it seems, it was interesting that they are realizing it. And I wonder if it's the further they are from Wanda, the more aware of the reality they are, because there are obviously moments where, I mean, Agnes is definitely living the life of the housewife that she is. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, they definitely knew what was going on.
Well, I think the interesting thing, though, is for a long time, really up to this episode, I think this may blow up a lot of the theories that she's Agatha Harkness, right? Like, the question is she playing along, or is she someone who has peeked beyond the veil and knows more of what is going on and has slowly started to tell the rest of the townspeople? But there's a very clear, or what seems to be a very clear line between Herb and Agnes, right? And the Dottie of it all. And like that character and what, you know, may inevitably become, you know, whoever she really is. And so I think it's interesting. I think that for me, I mean, obviously Trapped is the thing that jumped into my head first. I also thought Dead.
That was my guess. And that's the comment.
These are all potentially people who Wanda knows and either has brought back to live in this world. And so in the moment that you know, in this episode in particular, where Vision's like, whoa, something's definitely not right here. And Wanda just like boop snaps it back and rewinds it. Like, I feel like those moments may have happened with the rest of the townspeople, because you see it even in last week's episode, where like the audience is that very small group of characters that we've already been introduced. There were no randoms, you know, or whatever. I mean, to be fair, we did get introduced to two new characters with the doctor and his wife, but like, it seems to be a very small group. And so I think it may be people that been brought in, and like that maybe they know about Pietro. And so that's what makes the Geraldine comment and the Pietro stuff that gives up the ghost on who Geraldine is to Wanda, because the rest of the world knows kind of their place.
I like that. The comments like that. I think that there's a huge probability that they are all dead in one way or another. Maybe they're all Sokovian. Maybe they're all from her Sokovian memories. But I have one more that I'm just going to throw out here. What if they're saying we're all being watched?
Oh.
Mm. What if? Because, I mean, they are all being watched.
That's true.
So huge chance that is, if in my opinion, it's either dead, trapped, or being watched. Actually, before the show even started, I was talking to our producer, Richard, and I said, what do you think they said, dead, trapped, or being watched, right? And he said, it's got to be something like that. So it's funny. Those are the three things. And you guys just, we didn't rehearse this. Everybody in West in Westview is sus, and I'm voting them all out. Now, I do want to say, it was really cool. Like, I got giddy to hear them say Ultron and Pietro. And not just that, when the horns came in, like the music shifted to like that almost Avengers horns, but the darker version of them. I thought that was awesome. And the way that Monica broke character in that moment was very cool. So yeah. I do think, do you think we'll see Evan Peters or Aaron Taylor Johnson?
I think Aaron is more likely, but I hope so.
Yeah. I definitely think we will see a Quicksilver. I don't know which Quicksilver, because I know this is trying to set up the multiverse of it all. But I do think we're going to see something Quicksilver related in one way or another. Right? You have to.
Look and even just going back to the Ultron mention, like I put out on Twitter last week, like I would love to see an Ultron cameo, but have it just be James Spader, like, you know, not looking like Ultron kind of thing.
I would lose my mind if that happens.
It would be amazing.
He's going to be Robert California, and he's going to talk to Sword Boss. He's just going to say, I'll be a better boss, and they'll hand over Sword.
I love me some Jamie Spades, and Ultron is one of my favorite villains solely because he's voiced by James Spader.
Yeah. Well, and
who just said that in the comments? Our comments are going so fast. Al Viscardi, James Spader as Vision's father. That would be genius, and I love that.
There has to be an episode that here's the other running theory that I'm buying into more and more, that the two people that have the male figure and the female figure that we have seen in the commercials, I'm more and more buying into that those are Wanda's parents who we've never seen before. And so like, I would love an episode that is basically like the parents come to visit because now there's grandbabies, and James Spader rolls in as Vision's daddy. And then we meet Wanda's parents and hijinks ensue.
Yes.
I'm more on the train of they are foster parents and Magneto is really her dad. And he has been hiding away this whole time. I think that they can kind of retcon it and make it seem like a mutants have been hiding because they felt the need to hide all along. And I think that could be very interesting. That's kind of maybe just wishful thinking. That's what I would like to see. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Billy and Tommy are born.
They're here.
Welcome to the world.
In about 20 minutes of pregnancy. That must be quite an experience.
Look, as someone who has a young child, what Paul Bettany did with just like being the expectant father and like all of that stuff, like the scene where he is doing the speed test on how fast he can put on a diaper. Like, that is something that I have done with my wife. She has, you know, tracked how fast I could change a diaper. And we would try and beat that best thing. So like, I loved those. Like, those are just those, like the human moments that, and just like the references that the MCU does so well, right? Like the Marvel Universe is the world outside your window. These are how normal people act and do things. And I love that it's portrayed in that way. And Paul Bettany just freaking killed it.
I'm going to be honest. Can't relate. Don't want to relate.
Look, A plus dad joke. Look, A plus dad. Whoever wrote that episode, A plus dad joke. Like, I can't wait to. No, it was great with the papaya.
This is a kid free zone, and we're keeping it. No. I will not understand what Vision and Wanda went through in this episode for as long as I can have it that way. Anyway, but good on you for being a great dad, Viscardi.
I loved it.
You're not wearing a red shirt today. You're supposed to be red shirt guy.
That's true.
I'm sure the comment.
Jamie took the red shirt today.
I apologize.
Now you have to wear a red shirt next week.
It has Wanda and Vision on it. So.
Layla pointing out in the comments, I am Nova's dad. Listen, that raising a dog is hard enough. Okay. It is hard enough. Okay. So there's a couple things I want to talk about just before we end the show. First of all, if you've read the Vision comic, this Tom King, the Vision comic, there is a character in this called Victor Monica. I think my theory on this is that Monica is playing essentially kind of a Victor Mancha role, where in this comic, the Avengers send Victor Mancha in to monitor the Vision family because they think that the Visions can be a threat and can become villains. I think that S.W.O.R.D. is kind of the Avengers in this situation, and they sent in Monica to monitor Wanda because they see her becoming a threat, and they want to get this information. And maybe they're watching from the outside, so that's how they picked her clothes to send her in. They know what era Wanda is projecting here, so they pick her outfit and all that
Interesting.
Stuff.
Interesting.
So I think it's going to be something like that because that's what the MCU does. They pick these storylines. They switch the characters who do them. They Mandarin twist it all. And I think that could be what's going on. I think that Monica is observing for S.W.O.R.D. I think that's pretty clear at this point. And she's going to end up playing that Victor Mancha role and probably ultimately become friends with Wanda and an ally to Wanda in a similar way to what Victor ultimately does in being torn between serving the Avengers, ultimately being programmed to betray the Avengers. I think that is not a part of Monica, but I think that. So that's my theory.
I also don't see her dying.
I don't see her dying. I definitely don't see her dying before, and then being a zombie in Captain Marvel 2, not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, absolutely not.
So that's going to be interesting because we think maybe all the characters are dead. Monica, obviously not dead. How is this world coming to life? We'll see. And the next, my last thing that I want to talk about before we hear about Jamie's experience talking to Deborah Jo Rupp is that I think this show could all be the first issue of House of M. I think that maybe, you know, somebody's going to have to get through to Wanda and tell her it's not real. Maybe that's Monica. Maybe that's somebody else. And at the end of the show, because I asked Kevin Feige, this is a TV show. Does it end on a cliffhanger like all TV shows do? We know it leads into Spider-Man 3 and it leads into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I'm about to put the tinfoil hat on. Like these are I'm about to go deep cut details here. I think that this could end with Wanda essentially losing control of her powers. Everything becomes this alternate reality. The cliffhanger is what happened to that reality. And that's how... So Black Widow is set before WandaVision. Shang-Chi, I believe Shang-Chi is going to be set during the blip. The Eternals is set before, maybe after, but definitely heavily before WandaVision. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was originally supposed to come out before WandaVision. Loki is set before WandaVision. All of these things, what if, is an alternate not happening real world. All of these things are not impacted by the outcome of WandaVision. The first thing that is guaranteed to be set after WandaVision is Spider-Man 3. And we know that's all sorts of crazy multiverse. And then it's all going to get set straight in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I do think WandaVision is going to end with the alternate reality consuming all of reality and the multiverse being blown wide open. And if Tobey Maguire and Charlie Cox and all these people turn out to be in Spider-Man 3 and everybody else turns out to be in Doctor Strange 2, that's going to be why. They're going to be different versions of themselves, maybe not even the characters we know. Maybe it isn't what we expect, where they're reprising roles. So that is my theory.
That's a fascinating one. And honestly, that's a great argument for it. So I'm okay with that, and I'm here for it.
So we'll see. I mean, we're going to make so many predictions and theories. That's the fun of Phase Zero. A lot of them are going to turn out to be wrong. We're only going to call back to the ones that turn out to be right.
That's right.
So, yes.
You have to let me bring up the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. connection.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans watching this show right now. I know we have a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans.
So the Hydra-Soak soap, during the greatest arc of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is why I alluded to this poster, this is actually a set piece from the framework where Hydra has the Triskelion. And Coulson, when he doesn't know he's Coulson, he's a teacher, and he suspects that Hydra is brainwashing people with their soap. So he makes his own soap in this alternate world. And so the idea that they had a whole Hydra soap is hard not to just assume that was a reference to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It could have been a coincidence, but I'm choosing to believe that it was a direct call to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Look, when Coulson shows up in this show, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Don't even tease me.
Look, if everyone in Westview is dead.
Melinda May has already been on Disney Plus, just in a different franchise. So she's already got Ming Na Wen already has that connection. So maybe, yeah. I mean, Daisy Johnson Wen, right? That's what everybody
wants. Everyone wants Chloe Bennett to come back and play
Daisy Wen. Johnson and Secret Invasion. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on.
Yeah,
we'll see. I know everybody is. We have a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans that want to see S.H.I.E.L.D. continue and be acknowledged. So yes. Okay. And before we wrap up today, Jamie, you talked to Deborah Jo Rupp, who was in episode 1. Tell us about that.
Oh, it was so great. We talked a little bit about how it went. You know, she talked about the differences between it with a regular sitcom set, because of course she's known best for that 70s show. She was also on Friends. And my favorite was that she wasn't in the 70s episode. And I was kind of bummed because, you know, we all associate her with the 70s. But she made a good point. She said, if I was director, I wouldn't have put me in that episode because it would be distracting. But she also said she hates wearing the 70s clothes. She loved wearing the 50s stuff. So I thought that was interesting. It made me change my mind that maybe it was good that she wasn't in the episode. But Marvel wise, she said that she wasn't a fan. She'd never seen anything before, but she got into it for the show. But she said she doesn't want to watch Endgame because she says that she's gotten to an age where she just wants happy things and she doesn't want to see her favorites die. So she doesn't want to watch Endgame. But she did say unless she gets cut, as actors some do, she will come back. We will see her again on the show.
You know me, I'm full of theories. I think that they could be the George and Nora from the Vision comic that die in the house fire.
I got chills again.
The neighbors who die, because they have to serve a role, right? I mean, I think I think a lot of these characters are going to play key roles in the future of WandaVision, and ultimately when the story is all revealed, they'll all kind of play more important roles. So I'm giving everybody on Phase Zero homework right now. You have to read this The Vision comic by next week's episode, and I will tell you why. On next week's show, for the entirety of the show, we're going to talk all things Marvel and all things WandaVision episode 4. We will be joined by the writer of the Vision book, Tom King. Tom King's going to be here on Phase Zero. I'm super excited to have
you. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's that's so exciting.
I think you were added to the group chat after I sent that message to the group chat. Welcome to the Phase Zero group chat, Jamie. Very excited to have Tom King on here. Read your The Vision. Read The Vision comic. It's an awesome book, too. It's a really, really awesome book. I sat down, I read it in one sitting. It took me like 2.5 hours. I'm a slow reader, to be honest, maybe 3 hours. But I love the book. It's dark. We're going to talk about that. It goes places that I don't think Marvel Studios and Disney will go. It's a heavy book. It's an awesome book. So I highly encourage you to read that. We reached out to Ariana Grande. I did. Everybody knows she's the number one dream guest for Phase Zero. She politely declined for now, but we will have a guest coming up. I do have a friend who is a bearer of one of the 7 rings, and she wants to come on the show. So our journey to Ariana is happening on Phase Zero. We're going to have fun with it. We're going to have awesome guests. We're going to find ways for you in the comments to interact with some of our guests. Maybe we'll bring some of you on the show. Maybe we'll do kind of video submissions where you can send a video. We'll tee up your question and we will answer it. And maybe we'll get questions for our guests that way as well. And eventually maybe we'll bring some of you on live. I have really ambitious ideas. Jim has to be like, BD, calm down, reel it in sometimes. So we're going to have a lot of fun on Phase Zero. If you're listening to us, if you're watching us on Twitch Live, which we record every Friday at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time, please subscribe to the Comic Book Twitch channel. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review. Spotify, make sure you subscribe. And when you send us screenshots, you send us your favorite parts of the episode on Twitter, I read all of your mentions. I may not respond to everybody, but I do read all of them, and it means a lot. I genuinely love that you all are enjoying the show, and you're sharing it, and you're doing all that. It genuinely, like, that is our best way to grow. And that
easiest way to get a retweet from the Phase Zero account, send a screenshot. Boom. That's easy retweet.
That's it. I want to see my face.
Yeah. And if you take clips from the show, which is very easy to do on Twitch, I've been doing that. I'm still learning about Twitch. It's a super fun way to share our stuff. So that's your homework. Read the Vision comic. We have Tom King next week. Huge thanks to Jim Starlin for joining us on the show live today. Jim, where can we find you?
I'm at Jim Viscardi, wherever social things are.
Jamie, where can we find you?
At Jamie Cinematics on Twitter.
And you have an interview with Emma Caulfield coming up. So yes. I advise everybody to go follow Jamie. And you can find me at Brandon Davis BD and on the Phase Zero podcast, new episodes every Friday. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you had a good time. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.